I open your Bibles, please, to the book of Psalms 122. Psalms 122. We're glad to have you this morning, all our friends in the radio audience and in the internet audience. We're glad you're part of the services and for all our guests here. And I know it's the roads are not 100% clear, but I'm glad that you got here safely this morning. I know we got a lot of friends listening by means of internet this morning. We send greetings to them. Notice in your Bible, I said Psalms 122, and I'm going to preach from Psalms 122 this morning. But I want to read Psalms 121 just because it's a blessing. Say amen. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. I'm thankful for God. I thank you that He's in control of everything. And it says this, He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shade on the right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil, and he shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. What a blessing to know that regardless of what comes our way, God is with us. I've just finished going through the book of Daniel and reading about Daniel. And you know, you can be in the perfect will of God and end up in the furnace sometime, and in the perfect will of God in the lion's den sometime. And in spite of all that we go through, he said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. And so when you pass through the floods, he's with you. And when you go through the fire, he's with you. And in good times and what we call good times and bad times. But I've learned enough in these few years I've been pastoring and preaching that sometime when you look back over your personal history, those times you thought were bad times turn out to be the good times. You know what David said? David said, it was good for me to be afflicted. And he said, there's times when you go through things you don't understand, when you turn around and look back, God meant it for good. And I thank the Lord for that. But in spite of all that, he's going to take care of us. Now look at Psalms 122. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. I just read that one verse there, but I do want to call your attention to another verse in this psalm. I'm not going to preach on it, but I call your attention to verse 7. And, verse number 6. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Now, we need to put that in our heart and on our prayer list to pray for peace in Jerusalem. And the promise of the Word of God is for those who will pray and love the nation of Israel and Jerusalem, that God will bless them and you'll prosper if you'll love that people in that place. And I tell you, during the month of February, I'm going to do something a little different, I believe. God's leading me. I want to deal some with God's heart for Israel. February is love month, Valentine, and I'm going to preach on God's love affair with Israel and why. And he says, not because you're great, not because you were good, but he set his love on them. And I want us to study that. And then as part of that emphasis through the month of February, I forget the date now, about the third Sunday of February, Brother Tom Roberts is going to be here on a Sunday evening, and he's going to do a video tour of modern-day Israel. And you'll get to see, and then a historical thing, a lot of things that he was shared with some of the guides there. He'll share with us on that Sunday evening. It'll help you to have a good perspective of what I'm preaching on and what's going on in Israel right now. And I believe it'll be a blessing to your heart. But right now, I want to call your attention back to verse 1 and what David said. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Will you bow with me for prayer? Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for the blessed privilege of being here today. And God, for the wonderful singing, for the sweet fellowship already. And God, for salvation that's in the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to thank you that our Father, that you are our help. You are our preserver. You're the keeper of our soul. Lord, you're the one who takes care of us physically and spiritually in every way. And we give you praise and glory for that. And God, I pray this morning that God the Holy Ghost, our Father, give that anointing that'll make the difference. Our Father, I want to be used of God this morning to be a blessing to God's people. And I pray, God, if there's a lost person in the building or in the radio audience or internet audience, that God, you'd speak to their heart And God will thank you and praise you and give you glory for all that you do. In the strong name of Jesus, amen. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Last Sunday, I brought you a message on the church and just some things God had laid on my heart about the church. And I want to thank God for being part of the church, the body of Christ. And if you're glad of that, say amen. Amen. You don't join that church. You get born into that church. Hey, you're born again, and when you become part of that body, the word church means ecclesia, a called out body. And I do believe in what's called the worldwide or the universal or the invisible church. Now, that means all those who've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. In other words, you've got brothers and sisters around the world that you've never met, and you're part of the same body. Christ, they were saved and they became part of the body of Christ. And you're part of that body. That is the church of the living God. You're part of that body, grafted in and grafted in and baptized in through the ministry of the Holy Spirit of God. You're part of that church. And then God, through His providence, has raised up in areas local churches. And in those local churches, that's God's plan. It's His way of us coming together and being together and being blessed together. Thank God for the church and thank the Lord for the privilege of being a part of this church. I'm sure glad that God let me be here and come here and been here 16 years. And God's been so good to me and my family here. And I thank the Lord for the blessing of God. But I thank the Lord for all the churches that God's let me be a part of, both when I was a member and since I've been in the ministry. God's allowed me to be a part of some wonderful churches and church fellowships. I don't know what people do that don't have a church home. I don't know how they exist if they don't have a church family to rally to their support or to love them and pray for them. And what a blessing. But now, in this passage of Scripture, David said, I was glad when they said, let's go to the house of the Lord. Now, y'all, we've heard the story. I think LaVon told it some days ago about the fellow who got up one morning. He said, I ain't going to church today. And his wife said, you got to go. He said, no, I don't have to go. And she said, why don't you want to go? He said, well, they don't like me over there. And he said, I'm tired. And he began to give all these reasons for why he didn't want to go to the house of God. And his wife said, well, you've got to go. And he said, well, you just give me one good reason. She said, because you're the pastor. And, well, I can say I've never felt that way. Now, there have been times that I couldn't come, that I really wanted to come. And I thank the Lord that over these 40-some-odd years that I've been in pastors, up until this past year, there have been very few times that I have not been able to be in the house of God. Matter of fact, this past summer, as far as I know, and Regina would remember all the details, but as far as I know, in 44 years of pastoral ministry and pastoring churches, I've never had to miss two Sundays in a row. That all changed this year, but God's a God of grace anyway. I love to get the house of God. Now, I'm like some of you. When it comes time to go to the house of God sometime, I'm weary, I'm tired, and you have to kind of push this whole flesh. But I will say this, whenever I come to the house of God, I get invigorated. When I come to the house of God, I get blessed. And David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house of the Lord. Why was it? Why is it that David was glad to go to the house of the Lord? And why should we be glad when it's time to come to the house of God? Number one, because David knew it was the will of God. People want to know, well, I want to know the will of God. What's God want me to do? I'll tell you, number one, you can put this on top of your list if you want to, but right beside praying and reading the Word of God, and that is to be there with God, to assemble with God's people. Look over in Hebrews chapter 10. Let me show this to you. In Hebrews chapter 10, this wonderful passage of Scripture. Boy, it is a wonderful passage of Scripture. It's prophetic, and it's very, very pointed to me and you. But notice what it said in the book of Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 24. And he said, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as ye see the day approaching. Now, there's so many wonderful truths in here. I'd just spend all day right here sharing and looking at this together. But he said this. He said, let us encourage one another, provoke one another, love and good works. Now, how do you do that? One way you can do that. How is it you can bless your church? How is it you can bless those around you? And that is by your faithfulness to the house of God. Many of you who have been here faithfully for years will have a special event. We'll have a missions conference, or we have a Bible conference, or we have a revival. And on Sunday morning, like it is this morning, the building will be almost filled to capacity. And then when you start revival and the service is on Monday night, you'll have a fourth or fifth or less of the crowd that's here now. And I have walked into this building, and it hardly seemed like anybody here. And after a while, we got a good crowd here. But invariably, somebody will come up to me who loves the Lord, who loves this church, and they'll say to me, "Brother Billy, I don't understand why people don't come to the house of God. I don't understand why they're not faithful to be here in the house of God." And I've been pastoring all these years, and I don't know the answer to that either. But I do know this. It is an encouragement to one another and to the preacher and to everybody else when you just show up at the house of God. You don't have to sing in the choir. You don't have to teach Sunday school. But if you're here faithfully and you love the Lord and people greet you and you're able to greet them with a smile and they feel God's presence in your life, you will encourage people and provoke them to love and good works. I miss you when you're not here. Now, I was able to go by and speak to everybody before the services or even after the service. I can't do that anymore now. If I start on one side or the other, I don't get halfway through before I get to speak to everybody. And I look at you in this congregation, and I miss you when you're not here. Some of you I don't even get to speak to, but I miss you when you're not here. Now, I'm like LaVon. I'm looking around sometimes, and I don't realize until a Sunday or two later that somebody's not here. But we miss you, and folk around you miss you when you're not here. And it encourages one another. David said, "I was glad to go to the house of the Lord." Notice, because it's the will of God. He said this, "Do not forsake the assembling of yourselves together." Now, what's that mean? It means that ecclesia, that called out assembly. That means the meeting of the body of Christ. When God's people come together, you ought to be there. You ought to gather with God's people when they assemble together. Do not miss meeting with God's people. You'll miss a blessing if you do. And you'll be accountable for what you miss. Now, that's something, that's a real strange thing, isn't it? You know what? Whenever God's people meet and the pastor's prayed or whoever's preaching's prayed and they have a message from the Lord, you are accountable for the truth of that message. And that means if you're here, you're accountable to hear it and to heed it and obey it. But if you're not here, you're not exempt from the test. You have to do makeup work. And when you stand before God, those things and instruction and teaching and preaching that He wanted you to get at the house of God, if you're not here, you're still accountable for it. You're still accountable for that truth to be able to share with somebody else during the week or to be a testimony or something in your own life. And He said, don't you forsake the assembly of yourselves together because you're accountable for what God says to you. You're accountable for what God says in that situation. And then your absence will cause God's people to be discouraged. He said, you ought to be there. Now, watch this. You say, well, Brother Billy, I'm just tired. I know you're tired. I can look at you, and Chris has wrote a song about that. You're just wore out. I know you are. But I want to remind you what the Bible said. The Bible said in the last days, Satan will wear out the saints. That's in the Bible. He's going to wear you out. He's going to do everything he can to drain you physically. Satan's going to do that. Why? Because he doesn't want you to be faithful to the house of God. And you know what? Most of us, and most of you who work public work, on Monday morning when you're tired and wore out, you go to the house of God. Brother T.D. Burgess gave me a little card the other day, and it's got a picture of a black cat on it. And it said, blow on this card, and if this cat does not turn purple, you're well enough to go to church. And so I tell you, you'll find out. Now, I know that if you're sick and you're contagious or you have to work and divine providence keeps you from being at the house of God, understand that. But you know what David said? David said, I was glad to go to the house of the Lord because he knew it was the will of God. But now, watch this. And it says, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. How many of you believe that we're closer now to the return of the Lord than we've ever been? Raise your hand. That's just logical, isn't it? I mean, if it's clicking off days and hours, we're getting closer to the return of the Lord. And he said, the closer you get to the coming of the Lord, the more you ought to be together with God's people. There's some reasons for that. Number one, it's because of the wickedness of the hour you live in. The Bible said wicked men will wax worse and worse. And the Bible said in the last days, the love of many shall wax cold. In other words, he said, if you want to stay on fire and if you want to be prepared for the return of our Lord And if you want to have some sort of insulation against the wickedness that you have to face at school and at work and all day long, wherever you are, you need to flee to the house of God. Because there's where you're going to get refreshing. There's where you get strengthening. And he said you ought to do that the more you see the day approaching, because things are going to get worse and worse. You need to be in church like you never have been before. I never come to the house of God that I don't get something, that I get blessed, I get helped in some way. And when you miss something. My mama used to say this, and mama said a whole lot of things to somebody who didn't have any education. And it all makes sense now that I'm old enough and I should have remembered it way back then. But mama said, in regard to sleep, she said, you cannot make up for lost sleep. People say, well, I've been tired, and so I'm going to sleep longer. But most of you know that when you sleep longer, you wake up tireder. You can't make up for that. And you know what? It's almost impossible for you to make up for what you miss at the house of God. And you know what? Simon Peter, Thomas rather, when after the resurrection, all the disciples together, except for Thomas being there, and he missed the very first appearance of Jesus after the resurrection. Now, Jesus came back, and he talked to Thomas, and he said, put your hand here in the print of my hand and pierce in my side. You know, I'm not a ghost. I'm real. I'm here. But Thomas missed that initial appearance of the Lord. He could never make that up. He'd always remember, I was not there when Jesus showed up. And boy, I've been in services when the Holy Ghost showed up. I've been in services when God moved in. And I wouldn't take anything in the world for it. But if you miss it, you miss it. Oh, you say, well, I'm going to watch it on DVD or I'll listen to it on CD. It won't be the same. I promise you it won't be the same. It's good, and I thank God for that ministry, but it won't be the same. And David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house of the Lord, because he knew it was the will of God. He knew that God wanted him there, and he was more than glad to be there. But let me give you another reason that David went to the house, was glad. In this passage of Scripture, David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go to the house of the Lord. David was glad because somebody cared. In one of the Psalms, David writes these words that puts a chill on me every time I read it. He said, I looked to my right hand and on my left hand, and he said, there was no man that cared for my soul. But he said, I was glad when they said to me, let's go to the house of the Lord. You know why? Because he said, there's somebody that cares. And I'll tell you something, boys and girls, when mom and dad say, we want you to go to church and go to church with us, you know why they're doing that? Because they care. They care. And David, listen, David was glad because he knew somebody cared. T.D. Burgess shared the statistics the other day that I've known for quite a long time, and I've shared it with you. Did you know that nationwide, worldwide, less than 0.5% of anybody attends a church or members of a church because of the pastor? And then if you talk about media outreach, and I thank God and I think we ought to expand, and we are expanding our internet outreach and our radio outreach and maybe one day television, all of those things are so important. But there's a very small percentage of people who ever come to church and get saved because of multimedia ministries. And then all the other things, the printed ministry and all those things, it's a very small percentage of people who come because of advertising. I found out years ago and about revivals, that public advertising. There are some few who will come, but not many because of public advertising. But you know what is the number one reason people go to the house of God and the number one reason somebody testifies that I got saved because of this? It's because somebody invited them to go. It's somebody, and years ago, Elmer Towns came up with this little formula. He called it frangelism. Frangelism, F-R-A-N-gelism, frangelism, not evangelism, but frangelism. He said, most people come to the house of God because of their friend or their family. They come because of that. Or it may be because of some relationship, or it could be because of an associate, worker, or at school, or then a neighbor. And most people come to the house of God, over 85% of the people in anybody's church who comes, get saved, and then get networked or get involved in that ministry, they do it because of an individual. It could be mom and dad. It could be a friend. It could be a neighbor. It could be a work associate. But somebody cared. somebody cared. And David said, he's glad to go because somebody cared. You see, David was a great man of God. He started early in his life as a young boy, and his daddy sent him to take provisions to his brother who were facing the Philistine army. And as he approached, the great giant Goliath came out, and he defied the army of Israel and blasphemed the God of Israel. And David said, "Why didn't somebody stand up to this guy?" And they said, "Look at him, how big he is." And David said, "I'll do it." And David, under the anointing of God, they tried to get him to wear the king's armor, and he couldn't wear the king's armor. But he took a sling, and he said, "I've not proven that armor, but I know what this sling will do." And he said, besides that, he said, "I'm not going to go in my strength. I'm going to go in the power of the Lord." And when he met Goliath, Goliath just mocked him and laughed at him because he's a young boy, a little boy, and he stands 9 feet tall. And he said, "I'll feed your carcass to the buzzards," basically is what he said. And David said this. He said, "You come to me with a sword and shield, but I come to you in the name of the Lord." And boy, he took that sling and slung it, and he hit that giant right between the eyes, and he fell on the ground. David ended up cutting his head off. Oh, he was a great, and you know what then? Boy, listen, every little old boy, kind of like Tim Tebow, I see him bowing like Tim Tebow, but every little old boy in Israel, he had a sling. And he's playing killing Goliath. And he said, "I'm just like David. I want to be just like David. I want to be like young David." And then David became the king of Israel. Oh, he was a great king, a mighty king. And little old boys and people across that kingdom loved David, and they followed David. But then David sinned, committed sin, and committed adultery and had a man killed. And he had problems in his family. His own boy rebelled against him. And oh, listen, and I see little boys laying their slings down. And I see them no longer wanting to play like King David, who had such a great testimony, had such a great witness. He lost it all and he lost his people. But you know what David said? David said, I'm not worthy of their concern. I've messed up worse than you could ever imagine. And then somebody said, "David, come on, go to the house of God with me." You know what David said? David said, "I was glad because in spite of all I'd done, in spite of all my failures, there was somebody who cared." And I'll tell you something. Jesus cares. He loves you in spite of everything you've done. And God's people love you in spite of everything and all your failures, all my failures. God's people still love. David said, "I was glad when they said, 'Let's go to the house of the Lord.'" Because he said, "Somebody cared for my soul. Somebody cared about me." And then David said, "I'm glad to go to the house of the Lord because I believe there's where he found forgiveness and purging." Look back in Psalms 51, will you please? Psalms 51, I told you a little bit about the heartache of David. I told you a little bit about what he went through. And Psalms 51 is this repentant psalm of David. And look at it, if you will, please. And listen to what David says in Psalms 51. "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquities and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgression and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden parts thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O Lord God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways and sinners shall be converted unto thee." You know what David said? "I was glad to go to the house of the Lord," because he said, "There's where I find purging. There's where I find forgiveness, at the house of God." I'm glad God's not confined to this building. I'm glad he's real at the house. I'm glad he's real down by the riverside. He's down at your prayer place wherever you go pray at. God's real while you're riding in traffic on Monday morning going to work. God's real. But it just seems to me like over all these years that I've been in ministry, that David, like David, I have personally And I have seen so many of God's people find restoration and forgiveness around an old-fashioned altar. I've seen God's people who were on fire for Jesus and serving the Lord. Things happen in their life. Sometimes they failed the Lord. Sometimes they got out of the will of God. Some things beyond their control affected them, and they just got out of fellowship with God, got out of church. And then I saw God work on them, and I saw people love them and pray for them, and I saw them come, and I saw them in revivals and in certain services when they'd get around an old-fashioned altar like this, and they'd find restoration and forgiveness and cleansing. They'd come back, and like David, they said, "My sin's ever before me. Against thee and thee only by sin." And David said, wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Forgive me. Return unto me the joy of thy salvation. He didn't need his salvation back, but he needed joy back. He'd lost his joy, and he found joy at the house of God. And can I say to you, David said, "I'm glad to go to the house of the Lord." He said, "I'm just tickled to death to go to the house of God." Because he said, "It's the house of God where I find restoration. It's at the house of God where I find forgiveness." Can I say something? Many years ago, somebody made this statement. It wasn't original with me. But he said this, the church is not a showroom. It is a garage. You understand what he's saying? We're not here to display how good we are. We're here to get fixed up. And I'm glad that you can flee to the house of God. You may not be right with God. You may be cold. You may have lost your joy. You may have lost your victory. You may have failed God. But I don't tell you, God's good. God's able to forgive. Oh, yes, listen, the disciples had a hard time with that because Jews have a hard time forgiving. They have a hard time. They want to get even. And they came to him and said, "Lord, how often should we forgive our brother who offends against us?" He said, 7 times? That's a good number. That's a number of perfection. Here's what he said. He said, "You forgive him 70 times 7. That means you just keep right on forgiving him. Now listen, where did he get that from? Where did Jesus get that from? Where did he get that thought that every time they'll come, you forgive them? Because it's in the nature of God. Boy, I've been reading all through the Old Testament and how Israel, boy, they failed God. They failed God and they rebelled against God and they got involved in idolatry and wicked things. I mean, they ate off their children as human sacrifices. And he just said, "And yet, if you'll turn, I'll heal your backsliding and I'll forgive your sin." And he made that promise to him. And can I tell you, there's not a person in the sound of my voice who's got so far away from God, who's got so cold on God, who's backslid so on God, that if you come today in a repentant heart, that he'll restore you. And he said, "If you wash me and purge me, I'll be clean." Now you say, that's Old Testament. Listen, 1 John chapter 1, verse 9. He said this, "If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." I'll tell you what he'll do. He'll purge you. He'll purge you. And David said, "I'm sure glad to go to the house of God." He said, "Because there's where I find forgiveness. There's where I find restoration to go to the house of God." Look over in Psalm 92. Psalm number 92. I think David, who had a gift of music, you know, he played the harp for Saul and all that business, and he wrote all these psalms. I think those songs came out, and all these psalms, no doubt, came out of the experience of David. And David said, "I love to go to the house of God because of the music and the singing I hear there." Notice what it says in Psalm 92. And listen to this. He said, "It is a good thing to give thanks unto the Lord and to sing praises unto thy name, O Most High, to show forth thy loving kindness in the morning and thy faithfulness at every night upon an instrument of 10 strings and upon the psaltery, upon the harp, and with a solemn sound." Listen, he said, "It's a wonderful thing." Verse 4, "For thou, O Lord, hath made me glad through thy work, and I will triumph in the work of thy hands." David said, "It's a good thing to go to the house of God and hear the singing." Some people are critical of that. They say, "Well, I don't believe we ought to have music and all this business." Why, sure we do. I mean, God ordained singers in the Old Testament at the temple. They had people who just sang. Their ministry was singing. And thank God, I'm telling you right now, we've got some singers around here. I get blessed by the songs in your heart. Melanie was just in a play, and Katie was in a play, and we went somewhere after Thursday night to have a bite to eat after that, and Jim was kind of humming some of the songs that was in the play there at Wake Christian. and Andrew or somebody said, you're going to have that song in your mind and heart. He said, well, yeah, yeah. And you know what? The same thing's true when you come to the house of God. You'll get it in your heart. And you say, well, Brother Bill, I enjoy the singing at the church. Thank God, I don't feel offended at all about that. People say, I love to go to Benson Grove because of the choir, because of the singing. David said, it's a good thing. Everybody say, it's a good thing. And ain't nothing wrong with it. That's my little thing there. But it's a good thing to go to the house of the Lord and to hear the singing. Why? Because it's people who are singing about His work, what they've done in us. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. And thank God I've experienced that. And when somebody sings that, I sing that. Boy, it thrills my soul. It blesses me. Well, listen, that song different groups around here sing from time to time. And when sorrow like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, Thou hast taught me to say, it is well with my soul. And thank God when I'm going through a tough time, boy, that song rings in my mind. And I don't keep making a personal reference, but when I was in the hospital, I heard you sing. I could hear the choir. I could hear soloists sing songs. In the night when I was awake and couldn't sleep, boy, my heart and my mind was filled with those songs. And I thank God for them. And God will give you a song in the night. And listen, David said it's a good thing. And David loved to go to the house of God because of the music and the songs with message that he heard there. Thank God for it. Wouldn't it be a dull world if we didn't have any music? Wouldn't it be a dull service if you didn't have any music and the beautiful playing of the instruments and the singing? But David said, I love it. It's a good thing. And David said, I love the music. Puts a melody in our heart. I mean, just praise the Lord. And throughout the day, the next day, that songs are ringing in your heart, ringing in your side, and it comes to your mind. And you probably like me. Y'all may not know this, but I can sing just like Squire Parsons. I can sing like Ivan Parker. I mean, I can do it in my heart and in my head. But it's when it comes out of my mouth that I have a problem. But it's my voice. It's not Ivan. It's not Squire, but I can hear it, and it's me singing. I sing just like they do. But thank God, listen, God put a song in your heart. Listen, David said, I love it. I love it. Oh, hey, go all the way back to your childhood. All the way back to your childhood. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Oh, thank God for that, because there'll be a time. There'll be a time that you'll question whether God loves you or not. And when the devil jumps on your back, begins to say, if he loved you, you wouldn't have had cancer. If he loved you, you wouldn't have a broken home. If he loved you, you wouldn't have children in rebellion. Jesus loves me. This I know, for the Bible tells me so. Not always experience, not always the things happening in my life, but I can trust this book. He's not a man that he should lie, and he loves you. He loved you. David said, I love to hear them songs. I love to hear the music. I was glad when they said, let's go to the house of the Lord because of the music I heard. I believe he was glad to go to the house of the Lord, not only because of the forgiveness that he received, but I believe he was glad to go to the house of the Lord also because of others that got blessed. And he recognized the blessing of God on others that were there. David said in regard to the saints of God, he said that, thank God, he said, notice what it says in Psalms 34. Turn over there right quick, Psalms 34 and verse number 2. Let me read that to you. Notice what he said. He said, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. David said, I love to go to the house of God, not just for what God's done for me, but for what God does for others while I'm there. Can I say to you, I go to the house of God sometime, and I'm glad to be here, and I thank God for letting me come. But I'll see somebody get blessed, and it blesses me. I hear testimonies about the touch of God and the healing of God and the blessing of God and the restoration of God and God meeting needs, and it makes me glad. I rejoice with them. And you know, when you get around the house of God, and you share testimonies about the goodness of God and blessings of God and how God's blessed you, it blesses others. And David said, I love to go to the house of God to hear people praise the Lord. I love to hear people give testimonies and to see other people get glad. It makes me glad to be in the house of the Lord. I thought about it years ago, and it's just a simple, simplistic illustration, but most of you who cook on a charcoal grill, you pull all those charcoals together, you put that lighter fluid on them and light it, and you in that combined pile, as they begin to get, you'll notice this one get a little hot, this one get a little hot, and then next thing you know, it spread through that whole pile. Yeah, and that's exactly what it is when you go to the house of God. And you go out to your home, you take one piece of charcoal and throw it out in the backyard by itself, you'll have a time ever getting to build a fire. But if you pull them all together and let the fire come on top of all of them, boy, they ignite one another. And can I tell you right now, y'all sure do excite me sometimes. I love to be around the house of God and see somebody get help and blessing. God move on our heart. And I tell you, it blesses me to see others get blessed. Can you say the same thing? Say amen. David said, I love to go to the house of God when I see others get glad. I'm glad to go to the house of the Lord because there's where I get glad. There's where others get glad. And I thank the Lord for that. I thank the Lord for his purging and cleansing. I believe David would say this to us. He said, I was glad to go to the house of the Lord because there's where people get saved. Notice, if you will, in Psalms 35, you're right there at 34. Look at Psalms 35. Look at verse 27. Let them shout for joy and be glad that favor thy righteous cause. Let them say continually, the Lord be magnified, which hath pleasure in the prosperity of the saints. I'm thankful for God's blessing and God's goodness to us. But David loved to see people come to know the Lord. And we shout for joy and we rejoice over people getting saved and being born again by the grace of God. I tell you, I enjoy all the good singing. I enjoy every bit of it. But what many of you remember is the day that you got saved, or the day your child got saved, or your grandchild got saved, or when a friend got saved. Oh, those are great days of memorial when you remember that somebody got saved at the house of God. And David said, I love to go to the house of God, not just because I can find forgiveness and restoration, but because of the wonderful singing, and because I see others get glad, but then because of the fact that folk get saved at the house of God. Now, understand that the primary ministry of this church on Sunday morning, Sunday night and Wednesday night, is to the saints. He said he gave pastors, teach evangelists for the edification of the saints of the body of Christ for the work of ministry. We come here to worship him, come here to get refreshed and get refired and to get refueled, and then we go out to witness and win souls for Christ. That's what it's all about. But thank God there have been those great occasions when folks come down and get saved. Brother Bobby's back there. And he crossed that room over there, in that old building over there. I remember the Sunday morning when Brother Bobby come out. I tell you, he's kind of tall and lanky anyhow. And boy, I watched him. And he was crawling across the pews when he came out. And he said, that's exactly what I need. And thank God, he got a dose of it that day. Boy, God did something for Bobby Creech that day. I saw Mike a while ago. And then Ricky is back here. And I'm glad for what God does at the house of God. Oh, listen, thank God. David said, I love to go there. Wouldn't you hate to have been praying for somebody and looking forward to somebody getting saved, and then get saved the Sunday you're not here? I don't know how many thousands of times it's happened over the years of my ministry when we have a visitor or guest and I go back and I get to speak to them and I say, you have a friend here? And they said, yeah, so-and-so invited him, but I don't see him nowhere. And they didn't get to show up that day or didn't come that day. I don't know how many times I've had people invite people to come and then somehow or another they wasn't there the day they showed up. But David said, I love to go to the house of God because he said it's there. It's there that I see people get saved. It's there. David said he's glad to go to the house of God. I believe another reason David was glad to go, not only because somebody cared, but notice how it's worded. Holy Spirit of God worded it, and David said it. He said, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go to the house of the Lord, go into the house of the Lord. You know what David was glad of? David was glad that there was somebody who was willing to do what they wanted him to do. Let us go to the house of the Lord. I know parents, and I've heard stories of parents who wouldn't go to the house of God. They didn't go, but they wanted to send their children They wouldn't send the children. And David was glad because he said, there's somebody that will do what they want me to do. Let us go to the house of the Lord. They not only cared about him, but they were willing to go with him to the house of God. My wife's daddy is in heaven, of course, but my wife gives her testimony how that her daddy used to carry her to Sunday school. And she said to him one Sunday, and I don't remember all the detail, but she said, Daddy, I want you to go with me. Why don't you go with me? And as a result of that, he ended up getting saved. He went, her mama went, and he ended up getting saved and lived for God. It was a wonderful testimony. David said, I'm glad to go to the house of the Lord because there's somebody who wants to do what they want me to do. They're going to go with me. It's a good thing to go to the house of God with somebody. It's a good thing that somebody cares about you and they're willing to take with you. You ought to have that in your heart to get people and bring them to the house of God and then be a testimony example to them. I'm through. Psalms 23. I've used this so often because I love it so much. But David said, I love to go to the house of the Lord. I was glad when they said, let's go to the house of the Lord for this reason. I'm going to read the whole psalm, Psalms 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Now listen to this. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. David said, I was glad when they said unto me, let's go into the house of the Lord. You know why? You know why David loved going to church so much in the Old Testament sense of church? You know why? Because it reminded him of heaven. He said, I'm going to live there forever one of these days. And you know what? Church ought to remind you of heaven. It breaks my heart to hear of churches in a fuss and a fight and all kind of political battles going on inside churches. Who's going to be big dog? Who's going to be little dog? And all this business. Trying to do what God's supposed to be doing, being the head of the church. But I'm sure glad that there are some churches across this nation that when you slip out from that world out there that's full of hell and you come into the house of God, it reminds you a little bit of heaven. Oh, the singing is so sweet. Brother Linwood Carroll right now is in a bad state physically. And he's already told me, he said, I want to have the service at Benson Grove. He said, when I walked in those doors before he got sick, he said, there's nowhere in the world that I felt more peace at and more joy at than sitting in the house of God. That's the way it ought to be. That's the way it ought to be. If you don't have a church home, something like that, you ought to find one somewhere. That when you go in that church house and meet with God's people, it's a little bit like a little bit of heaven on earth. I mean the singing and the fellowship and to leave all the cares out there and come into the house of God. And David said, I was glad when they said, let's go to the house of the Lord. He said, because it reminds me a little bit of heaven where I'm going to live for all eternity. No more pain, no more sorrow, no more cares, and I live in his presence for eternity. Thank God for that. This church, every church, ought to be a place of refuge. It'll be a little bit of heaven on earth when you come in here and find people who love you and care for you, where the Word of God's preached and there's a message of hope and peace, where there's a joy that's real and genuine, where there's a concern that's legitimate and not faked, it's real, where people really love you and really care about you, and most of all, where there's an unhindered worship of a holy God. Because the day's coming that we'll get to be in church for all eternity. Oh, you say, Brother Bill, I don't know if I can handle that or not. Well, if you're saved, you will. Won't be a bit of problem to you because you'll behold his glory forever and ever and ever. Enjoy it. I'm glad to come to the house of God because of all these reasons David said. And I want to encourage you to be faithful. Be faithful to the house of God. It'll be a blessing to you. It'll be a blessing to others. It'll honor him. And you'll need it down the road. I wish you could go with me and Brother Tom, Brother Ray, and others who go to nursing home on a regular basis and see dear saints of God who love the Lord and their bodies are racked with pain. But you talk to them long enough, here's what they say. I just wish I could go to the house of God one more time. I miss being at church. Of all the things they've done in their life, when it comes down to that point, they miss being with God's people. You ought to take benefit of it, enjoy it while you can, and I thank God for the opportunity to be in your pastor.